word.
Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from the acacia grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did they remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear." Then she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window.
"For to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You'd be seated. There are really only two songs in the world, the old and the new. And everyone starts with the old. It is a song of fear and anguish and woe and terror. It's a song that Martin Luther knew well. It was his song amidst the lightning and the thunder that one night. It was the only song he sang in the monastery as a monk. It was all, "I'm not worthy, and I can't be good enough, and God must hate me, and what am I going to do?" It's hard to imagine that Martin drinking a beer or telling a joke or even cracking a smile. But one day, he learned a different tune, a new song, or at least new to him. Many, many people had heard and sung this song before, including Rahab. Now, Martin Luther wasn't a prostitute, but he might as well have been, because he and Rahab were two pathetic peas in a pod, two sinners sinking in the same boat, two hopeless people singing the same sad song, fear, helplessness, death. Rahab says it in our text. She says, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She says, the fear of you has fallen upon us and our hearts melted away because of you when we heard of what you had done. She had heard of the mighty deeds of the Lord and had come to realize that this was the only true God. And that terrified her because she was on the wrong side. Like Luther, she was singing the song of the demons. They knew who God was. And they trembled. What else is a sinner to do before a holy God? But then something changed for Rahab. Like when you stumble upon some great piece of music, whether by Beethoven or Bach or the Beatles, and you think, wow, this is great, I've never heard this before, and suddenly it becomes new to you. It becomes yours. Rahab heard this old song. The news of what the Lord had done for his people, it suddenly changed from being something that terrified her to telling her that maybe this God could be her God. Maybe these people could be her people, and this promise, his promise, could be hers. In faith, she acted, hiding the spies. You know, if the people of Jericho were around today, I suppose that they would call Rahab a traitor, much as the Roman Church calls Luther the arch-heretic, the chief of all heretics. But what she did in faith. She did with a faith born from that new song come to her by the word of God, the song of the wonderful works of God, the same song that Luther would one day have suddenly play through his mind as he read, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. And found that the righteousness which God requires is also a righteousness which God gives freely through Christ's merits by faith alone. Martin and Rahab both found a God who, it turns out, was not all thunder and woe and fear, but a God who smiles in the shape of a cross and an empty tomb. A God whose spirit sang to them the most beautiful song that has ever graced this world. A song about a red cord of promise. A song about the washing of water and the word. A song about Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God made flesh. The smile of God in human form. Whose life was a virtuosic, splendorous symphony of grace and peace. Whose coming is God's yes to your no. God's life in place of your death. God's forgiveness for your sin. His symphony to replace your dirge. That was the song they both sang for the rest of their lives. And it changed them. And it showed. It can't help it. Like when you see somebody riding in their car and they're jamming out to their favorite song. Or they got their headphones on and that look of peace crosses their face. That was the effect that this song had on them and on everyone who hears it and believes. And it is by this song that we come to believe it. For as old as this song is, it must become new to you for everyone. That is done only by the Spirit who sings the word of God into our hearts through Scripture alone to make us to be his people, who says to you in that word, I am your God. My people are your people. My promises are your promises. My son is your savior. This song is for you, sinners that you are. In fact, it's because you are sinners that this song is for you, because it is a song of salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone, in faith alone, come in the Scriptures alone, for sinners alone. To God be the glory alone. Amen.